Saram Day listeners, and welcome back to the studios of Radio Sai Prashantiralayam, giving you a live broadcast in the Asia stream of Radio Sai every Thursday. And as the proceedings in the Sai Kulwanth Hall have ended just now, and as the devotees are silently lined up to have a close glimpse of our Divine Lord on the eve of the auspicious and sacred festival of Mahashivaratri, invoking Bhagwan's divine blessings and presence, this is Team Radio Sai's Ganesh inviting you all to yet another new episode of the Veda Jignasa. And it's now time for us to start the episode. And we have with us Praveena sir to delve deep into the nuances and the grammar of Vedic learning. And I know all of you have been waiting very eagerly to hear to sir. And without any further delay, we shall start the episode by welcoming Praveena sir. Sai Ram sir.
Sai Ram, Sai Ram to all of you.
Sir, before we commence the class, shall we begin the class with the Ganapati Prarthana
sure,
Mantra?
Sure, we'll chant together.
Yes.
Om Gananantva Ganapati Gum Havamahe Kavim Kavinamupamashravastamam Jeshtharajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata Anashrunvannoti Vissidasadhanam Prano Devi Saraswati Vajebhir Vajinivati Dhinama Vitriyavatu Ganeshaya Namaha Saraswatyai Namaha Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
Sai Ram, in the earlier session we were discussing about the power of this Vedic mantras, and the power or the efficacy of the Vedic mantras mainly lies in the sound that is created when we chant these Vedic mantras. Ganesh, you remember last time I had asked you or told why the Vedas are called Shrutis?
Yes, sir.
Shrutva Kratayati Shruti, because Vedas have come over the generations for the so many thousands of years only by hearing from the mouth of the Guru to the ear of the Shishya. It has come only by hearing, and there was no written script at all in the beginning. So only by hearing, Shrutva Krita Iti Shruti, that's why Vedas are also called Shrutis. But do you know, Ganesh, why Vedas are also called Prabhu Samhitas?
Oh, this is actually first time I'm listening to this Prabhu Samhita.
Okay, okay. At least all of us know the meaning of Prabhu. Prabhu is a king.
King.
Samhita is a text. You can see invariably all those message that's contained in the Vedas, message that's given by the Vedas, are mostly in the form of a dictum, a commanding way, the way in which a king commands his subjects or his minister to carry out the work. Similarly, the message, very profound message contained or given in the Vedas, are mainly in the form of this dictum, command. Maybe we can give the example. Can you recollect what we can find in the Shikshavalli, the last part? There is a dictum very common to all of us. We know about this. Can you recollect and tell me what is that?
Matru Devo Bhava, Pitru Devo Bhava,
yes,
Acharya
good.
Devo Bhava, Atidhi Devo Bhava.
Similarly, Satyam Vada, Vada Dharmam Chara. So all this important message, very profound message, specially relevant to today for all of us. But in what form are they? We can see when we analyze just for a while in a commanding way. Satyam Vada, you have to speak truth. Dharmam Chara, follow the righteousness. So in a commanding way, you can see the message. But such a high, profound message is given in a simple way, but in a commanding way. That's why Vedas are also called Prabhu Samhitas. However, when we refer to Vedas as Prabhu Samhitas, not merely in a dictating or commanding way, the message, but also in other way also. What is that second way in which we can grasp and perceive the Vedic message and call these Vedas to be Prabhu Samhitas? We can see that Prabhu Samhitas here refers to the ultimate authenticity with which they give us the message, the ultimate authenticity with which the script is written. All of us know the Sanskrit Bhasha is the Bhasha, Deva Bhasha. It is a Girvana Bharati. It is a, the language of the Devas or the gods. Such a beautiful language. Sanskrit Bhasha, Ativa Sulabha Saralacha Vartate. Srimanta Bhasha Cha Vartate. So this Sanskrit language, which is very, very, very rich, and also at the same time very simple, and having lot of meanings, profound meanings. So that's how the Sanskrit language is said to be one of noblest property, noblest characteristic. That's why there's no doubt that Vedas are even propitiated, revered, worshipped because of this Sanskrit language, which is a very deva, with the bhasha or the language of the gods. So when we say Prabhu Samhita, here the Sanskrit language is so perfect that nobody can question the authenticity and also the grammar part of the Sanskrit that we can find in the Vedas. When we compare the Sanskrit language and also the grammar part of the Sanskrit in the Vedic text, we may find a little different from the classical modern Sanskrit. But we cannot question it. Maybe one small example I can give you. A small sentence that can be taken from the Mahanarayana Upanishad, where the description regarding the Veda Mata, the Gayatri, Gayatri Chandasam Mata, it is said. So powerful Gayatri mantra, a lot of description is given here in this particular mantra. However, there is a sentence which starts with Stuto Maya Varada Veda Mata Prachodayanti Pavane Dvijata. So this is the sentence where you can find the description regarding that very powerful mantra, the Gayatri, comes here. Okay, Ganesh, do you know the importance of chanting Gayatri? Or can you tell me something about what Swami has talked about Gayatri any time? Do you remember?
When we were propitiated by Swami into the Gayatri Mantra when our Upanayanam was done, the year of 2000, sir.
Okay.
We remember Swami telling the significance of Gayatri Mantra.
Okay.
That how powerful it is and how it takes you close to God.
Yes, Swami himself used to teach this mantra to the
Dvijas.
Yes. Okay. That is the Gayatri Mantra. But here, when you say Stuto, Maya, Varada, Veda Mata. So, Veda Mata is in Strilinga.
It protects Veda. You like the mother.
Sir. Yes, exactly. Veda Mata is the one which is the protecting power. It's the energy which can protect everyone, especially the chanters and the listeners. And when we say Veda Mata, it's actually, grammatically speaking, it is in Strilinga, Veda Mata. But when you see the Visheshana or the adjective given to this particular Veda Mata, Stuto, Stutaha. Okay, here Stutaha, Stuto, it becomes Stuto, the Sandhi, Lopa Sandhi, Swara Lopa Sandhi is there. But when you say Stutaha, it is Pullinga. So usually when you say any word, any noun, okay, even the Visheshana or the adjective should also have the same, the Vibhakti as the noun. But here you can see the Linga. Here you can see Stutaha is in Pullinga. Pullinga, this Stutaha is Visheshana for Strilinga, Veda Mata. But it is there, that's all. So you don't say in a Strilinga, but Stutaha. It becomes Stuto, Stuto, Varada, Veda Mata. So here, Pullinga Visheshana for a Strilinga noun, which you can find in Vedas, but we cannot question it. So this type of application, this type of narration and also text, you can find many places in the Vedas. So given by sages, that's why we cannot question it, and the sages who have given these things, they themselves are the full... they have the authority. About the grammar part of this Vedic text. That's why such applications are also called Arsha Prayogas or Chandasa Prayogas. which cannot be questioned. Okay, there are so many places where you can find. Okay, that's how you can see the Vedas are also called Prabhu Samhitas. Not merely they give dictum or the message in a commanding way, but even the grammar part of it is also having the highest authority and authenticity, and we cannot question. Another reason is that it is given by God. Isn't it? We all of us know the Vedas are not written by anybody.
Apaurusheyas.
Purushena na likitaha. That's why the errors which can come due to the human applications or humanly written errors cannot be seen in the Vedas.
Yes.
That's why apaurusheyas. But here, even the grammar part of the Vedas are also so authentic and ultimate that we don't have the right to question them. Okay, also you all of us know the Panini who has written the grammar, Panini's grammar has come much later, and Vedas came thousands of years before the Panini's treatise.
Sir, what is the general difference between normal Sanskrit grammar and the Vedic grammar, sir?
The way this, what one of the things that was told, described just now, is one such context. Okay, there are so many, even regarding some of the letters also, you don't find like modern classical Sanskrit.
Yes.
For example, Neela Devi, La, Agni Meele Purohitam. So this La particular syllable, you don't find in the modern classical Sanskrit, but it does exist in the Vedic text. Neelam Devi Gum Sharanam Aham Prapadye Neelam. Okay, such syllables, some of the syllables which you don't find in the modern classical Sanskrit are found in the Vedic text. In fact, Panini, after he has gone through all these things, made little modification for a better understanding, for a better take-up. And that's how you can see a little difference between the classical Sanskrit and the Vedic Sanskrit. Okay, even regarding the meters that you can find in the Vedic text is actually little different from what you can find in the modern Sanskrit in terms of some of the meters.
Yes.
For example, we have got the common meters in the present day classical text during the composition of various verses, maybe having the each pada 8 syllables or maybe 11 syllables or 12 syllables or even little more than that. Accordingly, we got Tishtup Chandas, Anushtup Chandas, Jagati, Prishnik, Pratishta. Okay, all these important Chandas you can find. However, in the Vedic text, you can find the meters or the Chandas, which are very, very special. Sometimes even the number of syllables in each Pada can run to large numbers. In fact, we have even meters where the number of syllables even cross 100 that you can find in the Vedic text.
Yes.
Of course, there are other meters which are common in both modern classical Sanskrit as well as even the Vedic Sanskrit, including Gayatri you can find in the classical Sanskrit. But Gayatri, Anushtup, Trishtup, Pankti, Pragada, Pratishta are some of the common meters, Chandas, that you can find in the Vedic text.
Yes.
But in the modern Sanskrit, you can find many other, including Shikharini, then Vasanta Tilaka, okay, then Jagati, then even Anushtup Chandas, quite common. So that's how some difference is there regarding the meters compared to what you can find in the Vedic text. And one more interesting thing that you can find in the Vedic text is that even many of the critics and also Bhashyakaras could not explain the meaning and also what is contained in the Vedas in some places. Okay, and it looks as though they are meaningless for us. For example, some of the places where you can find the Vedas may not apparently have any meaning, or it may look meaningless. Okay, in one context or one example that I can give you from the Yajurveda, Anyak Sata Indra Rishtihi Srinyeva Jarbari Tirfvarit. Apparently, no meaning at all for this particular sentence. Even the very famous Bhashyakaras, including Yaraka, could not explain what does this mean. Similarly, sometimes we can find such sentences which are contradictory or having words which are contradictory. For example, Apanta Manyus Tripala Prabharma. You can find this particular mantra in the Yajurveda, and you can find here Apanta Manyuhu means displaying anger. Prabharma means throwing stones. But Tripala doesn't have any meaning as of our understanding. Even the great Bhashyakaras could not find the exact meaning for this. Okay, so that's how you can see even the Yaraka also could not explain what does exactly it mean. Sometimes you can find the statements which arise doubt in our minds.
Yes.
For example, adhasvidasid uparisvidasit adaha upari. So here, when we really analyze the meaning, since we have two contradictory words, okay, applied for the same meaning, same word later on, okay, it actually initiates us to think, what is this exactly? So this is one such statement which make us think and also expresses doubt within us. Similarly, sometimes we can find in some places inanimate as if they have no consciousness at all. Okay, inanimate objects as if they have no consciousness. Oshade trayas swainam. One more example, shrunota gravanaha. So similarly, we also have contradictory meaning. Eka eva rudro na dvitiyova naste. A very simple sentence. Eka eva rudro na dvitiyova naste. Can you just tell me the meaning here? Eka eva rudro na dvitiyo naste. Rudra is only one.
Only one.
And there's no second Rudra. But can you see a sentence from the Rudra itself? Sahasrani sahasra shoye rudra adibhumyam. So here, on this very earth itself, we can find sahasrani sahasra shoye rudraha adibhumyam. Okay? Of course, it may have inner meaning that every individual, every being, is basically a form of Rudra. So that's why sahasrani sahasra shoye rudraha, thousands of Rudras that we can see, we are able to perceive, we are able to grasp, which means ekoham bhavasyam,
the one manifested as many.
As many.
Yes.
Okay, that could be the meaning. But literally speaking, eka eva rudro na dvitiyona, there's only one Rudra, there's no second Rudra. Maybe we have to see how this can be interpreted and taken to the present or the modern context. So we have many such places wherein the Vedic grammar appear apparently difficult to understand, but yet they are very, very profound. But yet we don't have any kind of authority to question them. Okay, then we also have, as we chant Vedic mantras, as I told last time, the Vedic mantras, the efficacy of Vedic mantras lies in the sound that we are able to produce.
Yes.
I still remember on occasion when Swami had blessed me to recite Sanskrit words in his presence during one Kavi Sammelan, and Swami gave me a chance to represent Sanskrit language. During that time, after the presentation was over, the next day, Swami called me and told me, yes, you have done well. It was very nice rendering of both verses and even Sanskrit speaking. But Swami cautioned me, in some places, you did not give that emphasis on some of the words. So here we have got Alpa Prana Mahapranas.
Yes.
When we are not able to chant or recite or pronounce those words, those syllables with the Mahapranas, which carry extra, what you call energy on them, then naturally the sound will not be generated. Subsequently, effect is lost.
Yes.
The power is lost. So that's how even Swami had emphasized on giving emphasis on Mahapranas. When you say pa, it's only pa. When you say pa, extra energy has to be produced here. When you say ba, only ba. But the moment we say the next one, ba, we have to exert more energy while producing this particular sound.
Yes.
So this is very common. All of us know in alphabets, pa, pa, ba, ba, ma, cha, cha, ja, ja, nya, ka, ka, ga, ga, nga. So in all these places, wherever mahapranas are there, it's very, very important to note that we have to exert, okay, with more energy and ensure that sound comes with its fullness. The moment we are not able to generate that much of sound, it means that you're not chanting correctly. It means that you're not able to produce that particular sound which actually that syllable carries. And obviously, that effect will not come.
Even the meaning of the meaning associated with the syllable also will be lost in the process.
Very much, very much. That's where the Sanskrit is a language where you can find specially pronouncing, okay, such words with the mahapranas. You can see every part of your body will be involved.
Yes.
There's exercise for each and every part of, especially all the muscles in the oral cavity, but also the whole body can be involved.
Yes.
Which you don't find in many of the other languages. That's why the energy that is generated when we chant these mahapranas are really should be very, very effective to convey that particular meaning.
Yes.
The moment we are not able to emphasize, okay, with that particular amount of energy, when we pronounce these syllables or maybe the words carrying these syllables, yes, the meaning may be
lost.
Okay, of course, there are so many other things. I think we can possibly discuss about all these things in these subsequent classes.
Sure. Very, very nice to hear such important aspects of Sanskrit and Vedic grammar to begin with, sir. So maybe in the further classes, we will go more deeper into the...
We can discuss about various other aspects of chanting.
More examples highlight,
yes,
sir.
Yes.
So with this, we come to an end to this week's Veda Jignasa program. And we shall end the class with the Kshama Prarthana Mantram, sir.
Okay, we'll chant together.
Om.
यदक्षरपदभ्रष्टं मात्राहीनं तु यद्भवेत् तत्सर्वं क्षम्यतां देव नारायण नमोऽस्तुते विसर्गबिन्दुमात्राणि पदपादाक्षराणि च न्यूनानि चातिरिक्तानि क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अपराधसहस्राणि क्रियन्ते हर्निशन्मया दासोऽयमिति मां मत्वा क्षमस्व सा ईश्वरा अन्यथा शरणं नास्ति त्वमेव शरणं मम तस्मात् कारुण्यभावेन रक्ष रक्ष सा ईश्वरा हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्री साईश्वरार्पणमस्तु.
वन्स् अगेन् वी रिक्वेस्ट् आल् दि लिस्नर्स् टु प्लीज़् डू राइट् इन् योर् फीड्बेक् एण्ड् योर् ऐडियाज् आफ् how to take this beautiful program Veda Jignasa forward. Please do share in your ideas and your thoughts to listener@radiosai.org or WhatsApp it to 9595358358. On the other side is Brother Bishu with the Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Stay tuned to Radio Sai Asia Stream. Sai Ram and happy listening.